that sermon that my dad preached, I heard that, I think, in 1985, I heard you preach that sermon. And that's a great study. I've used it actually before. I think maybe twice even. But if you do a study on your own on that, you can follow what he, if you go to Revelation 8:22, and then follow that through John chapter 1, where he says, "Behold the Lamb," and then follow that to the end to Revelation chapter 5. It's a great study, and you can see how that theme is through the whole scripture, from Genesis to John to Revelation, of beholding Christ and how he is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. It's a great study to do through those three chapters, Genesis 8 and John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5. And I don't want to leave that subject of beholding Christ, because that's our justification. It's also our sanctification, is looking to Christ. We never leave that. And that's like the solution. That's the solution for our problem. But understanding the problem can be just as important as the solution to the problem. Or understanding our condition is more what I wanted to deal with. And we'll just go through this in about 10 or 15 minutes. But let's pray. Dear Father, I pray, please help me with these words, God. Please help us with our understanding, that it would be clear. Help it not to be over our heads in any way, Lord, but that the message would be clear, understandable, and apply to our life, that we would look to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis 2:17, the Bible says, God commands Adam and Eve that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And I think many today are confused, even many professing Christians, because they can't come out of this way of thinking that is in the good and bad system. And I talk to professing believers, even those that have presumably walked with the Lord for a while, and maybe they have, and maybe they haven't, I don't know, but I talk to them and I'm very concerned. Because as you listen in the conversation, you can still hear the good and the bad system. They're still relating the good to godly and the bad to not godly. That is the system of the world. That is the system of the flesh. It is not the system of God. It is not the principles that we see in the Bible. And when Adam and Eve sin, they felt the weight of their sin. And we see that in Genesis 3, because they knew they were accountable to God. And that same thing is true today. We have guilt in our minds when we do something wrong. So we must find some way to make the guilt go away. This is why men have devised a human religion. And humans have devised a religion that says that you could make up for the wrong that you have committed. And for today, we'll call this system, we'll call this principle the system of good and bad. And like it or not, every human being born is in this religion called the system of good and bad. And whether people go to church or don't go to church, they're in this system. We're born into it. And some people sear their conscience and leave that system. But ultimately, when you really dig in what they believe, I think of that atheist, professing atheist that we met in Rittenhouse Square, you probably don't even remember, 2 or 3 years ago. But when we really got deep, he still had a conscience. He said he didn't. But when we dug deeper and deeper, we found his conscience, and he was still standing before God. Whether he liked it or not, he was still standing before God. And there's only two religions, and the one religion is this religion of works, this religion of the good and bad system. And what is the primary way that people justify themselves? There's two ways. You know, we say that we don't do certain things. Well, I've never murdered anybody, right? I've never done that. I've never committed immorality, as some people would view it. And so people say that. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's because men and women view themselves as being good people. Being good people. It is because they subjectively are evaluating themselves. They're evaluating themselves on their own standards. In other words, there's a sentimentality that's in us that we don't want to give up, naturally. It says, I'm a good person. I love my children. I work hard and pay my taxes. I go to school and get good grades. I do these things to help other people. I'm a good person. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to give up, is that side, the sentimentality that is telling us that we're good because we deceive ourselves into thinking that way and thinking that we do really care for others, when really our care for others is nothing but a selfish motive. It's like the two children playing, and the one boy wants the other boy's toy, and he cries and he tears it from him, and he says, mine. And then the boy who did that, he gets disciplined. And the next time he goes to the other boy, he's nice to him. And he gets the toy from him. It's still the same. It's the same thing. He's doing it for the same, he wants what's his, or he thinks is his. But he's doing it a different way. Both are selfishly motivated. And my friends, if we're in certain circumstances as we're younger, and even in our teens and 20s, we act a certain way, and then when we get older, you know what we learn? We learn manipulation. We learn how to be nice to people and how to get what we want. And then we deceive ourselves by saying, well, look at me, I'm a good person. And some of us can do that at younger ages, because when we're brought up in good families and our mother and father are disciplining us and teaching us, we learn that manipulation earlier. But you know, it still comes back to self. It still comes back to a selfish motive. And this is simply, we can deceive ourselves into saying that we're good people and that we generally have good motives. But this is simply not true. And I believe many professing Christians have never gotten beyond this point. They are still stuck in the good and bad system because they have never seen their true motive. And a man's motive is always self. Oh, we can dress ourselves up and make ourselves look nice by doing things that may seem outwardly good. But if we are honest with ourselves, we will come to the conclusion that everything we do is motivated by self. We may do nice things for our friends and family, and some may even do nice things to strangers. But my friends, please don't deceive yourselves. The motive of every single person on earth without God is self. Whether it is good self or bad self, you must come out of this good and bad system in order to be saved. In Romans 3:10-4, it says, they went about to establish their own righteousness because they did not know the righteousness of God. But Jesus Christ, in verse 4, is the end of the law for righteousness. When you come to the end of your goodness, that's when you can come to Christ. And every person out there that is not born again, do you know why? They simply have not come to the end of their goodness. And you can talk to people that are in jail, and I'm sure some of us have, who have done heinous crimes. And you know what they'll tell you? I'm a good person. Deep down inside, I really care about other people. That's what they'll tell you. But they are deceived. And my friends, this deception, because of the fall, because when it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when Adam and Eve sinned in 3:17 of Genesis, their eyes were open to good and evil. But it wasn't in a good way. They were ruined because of sin. And we think, because we have a general understanding of good and evil, what is good and what is bad, that we can somehow live in that good and bad system and justify ourselves. But it must be turned from, it must be repented from. This is not an issue of good and bad. This is an issue of sin and righteousness. This is an issue of flesh and spirit. And this is an issue of those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. Let's quickly go through these 3 points. Let's first, look at the issue of sin and righteousness. Sin and righteousness. I think this leads us to 3 questions. What is sin? What is righteousness? And how can a sinner be made righteous? Sin is the disobeying of God's law. So there's really 2 parts to sin. Sin is the disobeying of God's law. And sin is our condition or our nature. We are what we call double-dipped sinners. You know the color of crimson, almost like those curtains. You know how they get that color? They dip it once, and then they dip it twice. And they get that deep, dark color. And that's like our sin. We've been dipped into sin twice. Once by our nature, and twice by our choice. And number 2, what is righteousness? Righteousness is holiness, God's holy standards. And God's law. God's law. There are no exceptions. The law requires the full requirement of the law is to keep the whole entire thing. This is what God requires. This is God's righteousness. And when you understand sin and righteousness, your good and bad system goes out the window. Because when you understand sin and you match yourself up against God's law, you see that we're all doomed. We're all hopeless without Christ because we have all broken His law many, many times. But it only takes once. Adam and Eve sinned 1 time and they were expelled from God's presence. 1 sin will condemn a man to hell. And so to understand sin and righteousness will bring us out of this good and bad system. And righteousness is found in Christ. Which brings us to our 3rd question. 1st is, what is sin? 2nd, what is righteousness? 3rd, how can a sinner be made righteous? Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans. We're going to stay in Romans for the remainder of this. But go to Romans chapter 4. Oh, it's only 5 minutes to 7. We got some more time, I think. I was trying to hurry to get done, but I think we have 10 more minutes. So let's go to Romans chapter 4 and answer this question through the Scripture. Verse 5, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, you must turn from your works. You must turn from thinking there's something you can do to get yourself to heaven. That deals with the choice of sin or the action of sin. And the 2nd part, look at this, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. There's the 2nd part of sin, ungodly. I'm a sinner because I've been born that way. I am ungodly. So do I believe that God justifies the ungodly? If so, and I've turned from my works, his faith is counted for righteousness. A sinner is brought to righteousness by faith. And that righteousness is found in Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the entire law. And he is our substitution. For he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So my friends, to come out of the good and bad system, you must see that this is an issue of sin and righteousness. It is an issue of the flesh versus the spirit. In Galatians 5:17-18, the Scripture says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that they cannot do the things that they would. Verse 17 of Galatians 5, speaking of the war of the flesh versus the spirit. Of the flesh versus the spirit. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, all of your good deeds are as filthy rags before God. This is not an issue of good and bad. This is an issue of flesh and spirit. And I don't care how good a person looks. And there's people that have been through history that have done great humanitarian things. Incredible humanitarian things. That would seem so good. But God says they're nothing more than filthy rags. They're nothing. They're useless. They are no good but to be discarded as waste, God says. God is not impressed with man's efforts to reach him without going to God. And that only happens through the Spirit of God. Everything in the flesh is vanity. It is vanity, complete vanity. The only way we can find life is through the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. And Jesus said, when I go, I will send another, and he'll be the Holy Spirit. And he'll lead you into all truth. It's through the Spirit. And then, those that are in the Spirit, we may struggle and fail. We may not, at times, look like the best people in the world. But God is working on us. He is transforming us. He is causing us to be victorious. But this is an issue of flesh and spirit. It is not an issue of good and bad. It is an issue of sin and righteousness. And I wish that you would study these subjects on your own. If you want to study the subjects of sin and righteousness, Romans 1, 2, and 3 is sin, and 4, 5, and 6 is righteousness. The issue between the flesh and the spirit is in Galatians 5. And thirdly, I would like to look tonight as we close at Romans chapter 5. I know I'm often in Romans 4 and 5, but it just can't seem to get out of it. And I don't think I should have to apologize. Because when you talk about the gospel, Romans 1 through 6 is just, boy, you just can't get out of it. It's sin and righteousness. It's Christ and Adam. It's the flesh and the spirit. And it brings you out of this good and bad system. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, look at that, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. That judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is by many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So, when we meet people who believe in obedience for salvation, I'll often ask them, by whose obedience are you made righteous? And they'll say, you know, they have all kinds of different answers, but those who are in those churches that believe in faith plus obedience for salvation, they'll say, well, it would be my obedience. And I bring them right to this verse, in verse 19, which is actually our Bible memory verse for this month, or for the next couple of weeks, Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And it's by Christ's obedience that we are brought into Christ. And there's only two representatives, as you see in this portion. And in 1 Corinthians 15:45, Christ is called the last Adam. So you have the first Adam, which is Adam, and you have the last Adam, which is Christ. So what you have is the two human representatives. There's two human representatives, and everybody here tonight is represented by one of these two humans. And it's either Adam or Jesus Christ. And tonight you are either in Adam or you are in Jesus Christ. And you, if you're in Adam, you're still in the good and bad system. You're still stuck in that sentimentality that says, deep down inside, I'm really a good person. Deep down inside, I really do care about other people. And that is a lie. You have deceived yourself into believing that. The devil has deceived you into believing that. Your motives are selfish. I don't care how good they appear or how emotionally they make you feel. How sentimental your feelings make you feel good. It does not matter in and of yourself. Your emotions, your motive is self. And you are not good without Christ. And if you still believe there's something you can do or somehow that you are a good person, you are in Adam. And all those in Adam will be condemned. It says they are under condemnation, as we just read. But those who are in Christ, those who are in Christ, what does it say? Have the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness, holiness, to be made holy before God on the day of judgment is a gift. It's by God's grace. It comes from God to us in Jesus Christ by faith. And my friends, when you see that, you just say, boy, all the things I thought were good in my life are rubbish. Just like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, he lists all the good things he did in his life. And he says, in light of Christ, they are dung. They are nothing. Everything I thought was good in my life, in and of myself, is nothing in light of Christ. And in light of being in Christ, and the riches in Christ, I'll just close by saying this, the riches that are found in Christ, we read and see these people who win hundreds of millions of dollars in the lottery, and it's a joke. It's a joke. Those riches will be spent, and actually many of those people end up in destruction, believe it or not. If you follow those people's lives after they win that money, many of them end up in terrible situations, because the Bible says ill-gotten gain is sudden brings sudden destruction. And people chase things like that, and it's foolishness. But the riches in Christ are forever and ever and ever, and they never fade and they never lessen, the riches in Christ. But my friends, you must come out of this good and bad system. And I'm afraid that many professing believers, my friends, if you truly will examine yourselves, please do it. Please. I'm afraid that many professing believers still think that there's something good in them. And my friends, there is not. There's no good in any of us. It is only through Christ that we can have this life, and we can have it evermore, forevermore. But praise be to His name. He has provided it for us, and it is a free gift, as we just read in Romans chapter 5. And whoever will turn to Him and trust Him, He offers this free gift too. So praise His name and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. And, you know, it's like the two sides of the doorpost. It's like the two sides of the door, where you look at the one door, side of the door, and it says, whosoever will may come. And that's what it says to every unbeliever. The gospel says, whosoever will may come. Come. Whosoever, right at the end of Revelation, it's the last thing in Revelation 3:17. Whosoever thirsts, come and drink of the fountain of eternal life. And then as you walk through that door, you turn around and you see Ephesians 1:4. And it says, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. And I say, praise be to God. That's how it's possible. Because in myself, I can't do it. I can't even choose to do it. But it's by His grace. It's by His sovereign grace. that he brings us into his fellowship. But on the one side of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. And that call goes out tonight, that whoever is here and still thinks there's that ounce of goodness in them, there's still time. There's still time. You have tonight God's grace. He offers the free gift that you would turn and trust Christ and look to him. I pray that that would happen, that God's work would work deep in your heart, because it is a work of the Spirit. As we already said, it's an issue of the Spirit and the flesh. So let's pray. Dear Father, I pray, would you please work tonight in our hearts? God, I please pray somehow, Lord, that we would not forget both of what we heard tonight, that we must look to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. But if you're lost tonight, you must come out of the good and bad system. You must see that this is not an issue of good and bad. This is an issue of sin and righteousness. This is an issue of Adam in Christ. Those who are in Adam have no hope. They have no hope, but are headed to eternal destruction. But those that are in Christ have the riches of God forever and ever. And I pray, dear Father, would you please work in the hearts tonight? Would you please turn people to yourself, God? Would you please work in our hearts as believers, Lord, that we would be edified in Christ and preach this gospel to the ends of the earth? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.